Yeah, so anyway, I really think that, while Marshall is undefeated, that I'm not sure their strength is strong enough. Oh, hey, podcast.
Yes, Mountain West Connection. MWCConnection.com. Twitter, same thing. Find us ever. Facebook, Twitter, Mountain West Connection, Greek Padre. That was Chris Andres sneakily trying to start the show without me.
Yeah,
And
sorry.
that stays in the show. Jeremy Moss here. We're going to be talking about college football, Week 9 action. Exciting. Right?
Totally.
No,
Yeah.
there's tons of good stuff. Lots of good
Before we
stuff.
get to the good stuff, let's get to the controversial piss everybody off stuff.
Oh, so we're doing the beginning, not the end?
Yeah, well, we're doing Twitter questions at the end.
Yeah, okay, then
I mean,
what's
that could be controversial and pissing everybody off too, but I'm going with the college football committee people are making their first, playoff rankings. Why don't we create our own top four rankings?
Sure. I watch a lot of football. I'm sure you do as well. More than most people probably should, but it's fun.
Yeah.
So, as of course we to make sure it's 100% accurate and that people know, Chris and I do not have a vote in the College Football Playoff Committee.
No.
Neither have
So,
I took over for Archie Manning. As far as I know. Have you gotten that email yet?
what?
Have you gotten the email to take over for Archie Manning?
No. And
Okay.
besides, I'm still a little upset that I got left out of the Belk Bowl eight play the playoff for the best dressed sports journalist. Sports writer.
As sports writer, and then the good folks at Solid Verbal, who I know reasonably well, got pissy at me for saying, "Well, we wrote an SI. Who writes my videos?" I'm like, "Calm
They
down."
do write their content.
Well,
They
I
do.
know, but
Writers.
I'm like,
That's like we podcast, but we count as sports writers as well.
"Well, we write as well," but I'm like, "Calm down." I know it was. I'm pretty sure it was Dan. I'm like, "Dan, calm down. I know," but they said writers, and when I think of writer, I think of something that's more written more often than spoken, right?
Wrong, damn right.
Yeah, a little bit. But let's get going. We don't want to mess up. But I guess I could say the same thing about Michael Felder since he no longer writes for Bleacher Report, does videos, so. Who cares? All right, let's get going. Top four teams, since this is everybody's doing it, might as well get the extra clicks or listens. And
Right, totally.
if you want your comments, drop in your top four as well. So you start first. Since you brought it up, you go. Who do you going to go in your top four order? Any order, or what? What are you doing?
So, no, this is a top four. And see, here's the thing. People, listen. Don't freak out that three out of the five, top five AP top 25
Roll
recruits.
Tide! Roll Tide!
Yes, do not be concerned that three out of the top five teams are SEC teams. Alabama still has yet to play Mississippi State. Alabama still has yet to play Auburn. Auburn still has yet to play Alabama. Auburn already lost to Mississippi State.
Ole Miss has not played Mississippi State yet.
Ole Miss has not played Mississippi State.
Georgia.
The SEC is going to fall.
Georgia is probably going to win the East and we'll play somebody in the West.
Georgia's not making it into the playoff.
Or Alabama, excuse me. Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying the East champion could be the West champion. West champion,
Oh,
I should say.
totally. And throw everything into chaos.
Just remember also, I think this is about the time. The BCS standard, I think, came out a little bit earlier than these playoff rankings, which are Tuesday night. And we'll put up a post, even though no team will be ranked and are out of the conference most likely, but people like that stuff. But if you recall, it's a week earlier. There's a lot of football left. There's a lot of chaos still coming up. We're heading into week 10, which seems like it's almost over, but there's still about 6 or 7 more weeks left of football to be played.
Plenty of chaos to happen.
And if looking to care about the SEC, Missouri, they have one loss in the SEC, so does Georgia. Just saying.
There's only three undefeated teams right now:
Yeah.
Mississippi State, Florida State, and Marshall. Only two of those teams are ranked in my college football playoff.
Marshall
So,
and Florida State, right?
right. Well, and it does bring up a good argument that Florida State should not be in the playoff. Right now, though, because they're undefeated, because they beat a top five Notre Dame team last week, they have my vote in. However, they are not number one. They're probably number two or three.
Yeah, and also,
Mississippi State is my obvious number one.
they beat your
Florida State's my
Broncos.
number two.
Oh no, sorry, that was Ole Miss. I apologize.
I got Oregon as my number three right now.
What? They're number six in the polls, Chris. What are you talking about?
Right? And you're going to freak out even more. TCU is my number four right now.
Ooh, I am there with you almost. TCU. I don't care. I like. Okay, they're not going to take an in consideration margin victory, but man,
they can't.
They should, but TCU, 82 points for a Gary Patterson team. Ooh.
And TCU's just been absolutely destroying everybody in their path. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't take margin of victory into account. But TCU has been playing the, oh, we used to be in the Mountain West, so let's just steamroll everybody. Okay? Beat Minnesota 30-7. Beat SMU.
Big 10 West leading Minnesota. Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. They beat number 4. 37-33. Okay, they lost to Baylor, 61-58. That's their only blip on their schedule. But when you give up 61 points to Baylor, A, that's not a huge thing, and B, you scored 58 points. That took them to overtime.
They should have had that game, though, giving up 21 points in the last, quarter plus, I believe, something like that.
Then they respond by just destroying Oklahoma State 42-9, and then this 80 burger against Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But here's the thing, too. They still have – here's why. I think they could be the number 4 team. They probably won't be when the initial playoff comes out, but they get West Virginia, who's ranked now at 20. But then they also get Kansas State, who's the only other undefeated Big 12 team.
Who's ranked 11th in the nation.
Yeah, and they could – one spot behind, right? Behind TCU.
TCU, yes.
And Kansas State's only loss is to Auburn. So TCU – there's a good chance if they can finish 11-1 with – Oklahoma win, Oklahoma State win, West Virginia win, Kansas State win. Yeah, there's a reasonable chance to be on there. But I would put, I don't know, so you have TCU number 4?
I have TCU number 4. You want to know who has the most touchdowns in the nation right now?
TCU?
Taylor Boykin.
What?
Quarterback. He's thrown 21 touchdowns this season.
That guy?
Yeah. You know who's even close to him right now?
Nobody?
Actually, two people are close to him right now.
Nobody?
Amir Abdullah for Nebraska, 19 touchdowns, steaming everybody over like how the 90s Nebraska teams used to do.
Tommy Frazier.
No. Jarvion Franklin for Western Michigan also has 19 touchdowns.
No, I was referring to Tommy Frazier as the mid-90s.
All right. Tommy Frazier. Right, yeah, sorry.
Okay, so you got TCU 4. Okay, if I go number 4, it's too early.
I'm wrong. Apparently, never mind. Oh, apparently, a lot of people have 21 touchdowns.
Yeah. So he's
Connor Holliday is 32. Bear Raid. Jared Goff is 26. Welcome to West Coast football, guys.
Yeah. Stay up late. Watch Utah USC. All right. So
Mariota 24. Okay, so I thought I was being impressive by saying 21 touchdowns this point through the season, but apparently I'm wrong.
Come on, get your facts right. Where's our stat checker?
Regardless, TCU looks pretty damn impressive to me, and that's why they're my number 4 team.
I don't want to go with you, but I kind of do. I want to check one thing, since you did kind of spring this on me as the show started. I'm going to say, I want to say Notre Dame. It could be number 4.
What about Michigan State?
Oh, man, the Big Ten's awful.
Yeah, I see. Exactly.
But I could have Michigan State higher but I think, here's what I'm looking at Notre Dame's schedule. It's not too difficult. Navy, they could cause some trouble because of Keenan Reynolds. At Arizona State's very difficult. At USC, reasonably difficult. I think if they can win out, they'll get in. If they have one loss, they're going to be in. I can guarantee it. And I could see them winning out. And I'll put, even though I see them play UNC not too impressively, I'll put Notre Dame number 4 this week.
So we good?
Well, that's only one team. Who's the rest? Who else did you say?
I said Mississippi State.
Oh.
Florida State and Oregon.
I only gave one team there, so I would say. I think it could be – here's what I'll do. I will go Notre Dame 4, TCU 3, Florida State 2, Mississippi State 1. Only a single SEC team there, folks. No,
you're leaving the Pac-12 out?
Oh, man. What if the Utes win the Pac-12? Would you put them in if they're 12-1?
I would definitely consider it.
Oregon's going to lose another game. I like TCU a lot because I have seen them play. I think they can play with anybody. If they can win out, they'll be in. Notre Dame is going to win out.
TCU and Utah both make the playoff.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
and we basically have an old Mountain West matchup.
That'd be amazing. I still only see one SEC team getting in. And Mississippi State has the record, has the inside tracks, are undefeated. Florida State, and then I could teach you can move up because, like you said, Ole Miss could play Mississippi State, or they do. Georgia will probably lose the title if they make the SEC title game, or somehow Missouri gets in. Whatever, they're not going to, the SEC East champion's not going to get in if they win the whole league. They're going to beat each other up. Oregon will probably lose, I don't want to say probably, but they still have to play Stanford. They come to Utah, it's pretty good. Who knows about Oregon State, but I will go Notre Dame, TCU, Florida State, and Mississippi State.
So, I'm just going to go real quick note on Utah real quick. Utah's not going to make it in the playoff.
No, not even close.
However, they have the next 4 weeks. They play Arizona State.
So difficult. So tough.
They play Oregon fifth. They play at Stanford, and then they play at home versus number 14 Arizona. If they run through that undefeated and then beat Colorado at the end of the season and then match up probably with Oregon at the end of the year for conference championship game, You better bet your ass that I'm putting them fourth.
Oh, so would I, man. These are my Utes, my University of Utah Utes. And really, they should be undefeated. They gave up a 21-0 first quarter lead to Washington State and lost.
Mike Leach.
They could be sitting – no, not Mike Leach. Wide receivers can't catch the ball for Utah. And they still – I'm watching this game last night. I know we're going way off topic, but I'm watching the game last night. Dres Anderson cannot catch the ball. He got hit right in the face and dropped a touchdown pass. Multiple passes he dropped.
That's why Utah ranks 99th in the nation in pass.
And their quarterback situation is awful. Like, I was on that game last night. The final play, like, I'm like, oh, Travis Wilson, just give it to Booker. I don't care if there's – if it's second down, you have 10 seconds. Give it to Booker at the one. Even if they're in shotgun, which I hate. He throws that sidearm pass to Kalen Clyde, touchdown. I'm like, well, he made it, but I'm just – anytime they throw the ball, I'm afraid something bad's going to happen.
So, you know, now that we're talking about Mountain West teams.
Yeah, Utah.
Utah.
But you're right.
Let's go over what's been happening this past weekend.
You want to like to talk about? I put up my quick post about what happened. Actually, before we get going, should we discuss Zach Greenlee and Fresno State really quick?
You mean it's about time?
Yeah, it's about time. So our good buddy Matthew Kennerly got a early morning post, reasonably early morning, out west, where it's announced from ESPN Central Valley, 9:40 a.m. ESPN, the home of the Bulldogs there. Zach Greenlee is your starting quarterback, redshirt freshman. He's only seen action in one game versus Southern Utah, and he's the guy. At least that's what DeRuiter says. Do you believe first? Do you believe Coach DeRuiter?
Meh. Why not?
That's not too confident.
I have a hard time believing any guy uses two quarterbacks consistently, and neither one of them are successful.
Yeah, so if they stick with him, Brell's a junior. That means Greenlee's a guy going forward from here on out, no questions asked. Has to be.
I will say yes.
But I don't know if he'll do it. That's a problem. We don't know if he'll do it. And because Fresno, they still have a chance. I mean, they're not in any position to say they can do it, but there's still a shot they could win the West Division.
Oh, yeah.
And they just need to stick with him. He threw, what did he go, 7 of 11 versus Southern Utah, something like that. Nothing exorbitant, but stick with him. He's the lead 11 quarterback. If that means anything to you, because some people it doesn't. He made it to the finals, so I think there's a little bit there for him being a reasonably good quarterback. But they have to. They just stick with the guy. Get the ball to Josh Harper every time. So there's that. So hopefully they do stick with that. And let's just get to the games now. We'll talk about a little bit more down the road. But our first game was your Boise State Broncos hosting the reeling BYU Cougars, who are now 4-4. They lost 4 in a row. And might I mention, they are 0-3 versus the Mountain West.
So does the Mountain West want him back? Yes, they do.
They still do. Here's one thing I want to say before we get to the game. This will kind of go to our Twitter hate at the end of the game. There was one particular comment, like, everybody needs to start puckering up to Boise State after they beat BYU.
No, they don't.
That's what I think you do. Nevada did so, and you can argue Utah State is a better win over BYU than Boise State over BYU because they were going toe-to-toe with Taysom Hill in the game. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not. But Boise State did what they were supposed to do.
Well, they smoked them. They crushed them.
Yeah. Nevada kind of sort of did what they were supposed to do last week.
Nevada did what we thought they would do.
Yeah, exactly.
But go Boise down State, and score.
Boise State absolutely did what they were supposed to do, which was slaughter. Literally slaughter BYU.
I didn't think it would be.
I mean, when it gets to the point in, on Twitter, when people are not only just talking about fire Bronco, but why is BYU even part of the church anymore when it doesn't represent the LDS population? That's what kind of blowout it is.
They gave up 41 points, and if I'm correct, well, at least not me. I know the Human Sports Encyclopedia. I know my former coworker at this radio station. I put on Twitter, I'm like, hey, Tyson, do you know this? He's like, I don't know the time in the first half, but they did give BYU the last time we can think of. They gave up 40 points in the second half to University of Utah back in 2004. So they're not they give up, I think, 30 to Tulsa, 31 to Florida State. It doesn't happen very often. But Boise, they're out 20-0. 41-16 at the half. BYU can't do anything, and Boise's just, oh, let's go 60% on third downs. Let's have Grant Hendrick throw for 410 yards.
Oh, and a pick six, by the way.
Oh, that was terrible. I saw that play. I'm like, that was a true freshman who made that pick six for BYU. Fred Warner, he's a pretty good player, linebacker.
By the way, the last time I remember that happening, a Boise player throwing pick six on a screen pass, Jared Zabransky in 2006.
Georgia?
No, 2006, not 2005.
Oh, sorry. Just a terrible play. Oh, question. Oh, I have another question here. Some people try to add sneaky comments on Twitter, and I catch them, and they say, oh, it means nothing. Legitimate question. Who is Thomas Spurbeck? You cannot tell me you knew who he was, and he was a legitimate threat for this offense before this game.
Yes. No, totally. Spearbeck has taken over the Matt Miller role since a couple weeks ago.
We only had 11 catches coming into this game.
Right, and 10 of them were last week.
No, he had 2 last week versus Fresno State. Spurbeck, not McMichaels.
No, McNichols did McNichols, his job versus whatever. Nevada. McNichols did his job versus Nevada. Spurbeck had 6 receptions versus BYU. He had 6 receptions in the loss versus Air Force. He was the only person that Hendrick was throwing to successfully. 3 for 51 yards versus Nevada, although McNichols had the bigger blowout. No, Fresno State, he was 2 receptions for 21 yards, but he was 2 for 2 on passing, including a touchdown.
No, I know. No, the only touchdown came versus BYU.
No, he threw for a touchdown.
Oh, he did? Okay. I'm just saying, but okay, But still, having that big of a game, that's still pretty surprising. Like, yeah, the past month he's been pretty well. But then you guys on Utah State from Twitter are like, oh, Boise, he's better than anybody Utah State has. I'm like, no. Hunter Sharp is still very good.
No, Hunter Sharp is excellent.
Spurbeck did great, but I'm saying that 78-yard touchdown pass, amazing. 148 yards. Great, I'm just saying, like, he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit to have this type of impact. But it looks like everybody did in this game. It seemed like Chaz Anderson, Jadelyn Rhodes.
I feel like Matt Miller has been more effective coaching the kids off the field, coaching his team off the field than he has playing this year.
That's what they're saying during the game. And with this game, I was a little surprised because Jamal Williams, because I said in our preview show, if Jamal Williams plays, and I kind of last second said Boise would cover the 7, I'm like, if he plays, it'll be really close. He played but wasn't effective. And BYU's rush defense, which was, what were they, like top 5 of the nation, got crushed. And Jay Ajayi, yeah, he's held below his average, but still 4.5, 2 touchdowns. BYU's...
But I told you this in the preview show, though. even if Williams played, I said, there's no guarantee that Williams is going to just dominate with the ball.
He didn't play well. He didn't look like himself like I've seen him before. He struggled. Because, you're right, though. He missed a couple games. He's not going to be really fresh, perhaps. He's not practicing. How well could he really be? He touched down 70 yards is pretty good, but not what BYU needs him to be with only 16 carries to beat Boise State. They needed him, like I said, third 25 or more carries.
You know who did do well for BYU?
Colby Pearson.
Scott Arellano. The punter.
I was going there next. I'm like, you can't be a compliment, a real compliment.
Oh, it is a real compliment. 8 punts for 387 yards is a huge compliment. Especially when one of those punts is a 76-yarder.
Yeah.
Net 76-yarder. Not 76 and then minus 20 for 50.
Yeah.
But, gee.
That's good. But, so, what does this win? Because we're talking about there's going to be the fight for Boise and Colorado State.
I didn't get a chance to watch this game live. I had to watch it early the next morning, and I enjoyed every single minute of it.
Yeah, I watched almost as busy, but I got to watch at least about the first 2.5 quarters. I figured I'm done with this. They're crushing him. I don't need to keep watching this after the one is 48-23. I'm like, I'm done. It's a blowout. They're going to win.
But what were you asking?
No, I'm saying, so there's the fight, Boise State, Colorado State. Have you voted in our poll yet? That's what I was getting at.
I have not voted in the poll yet, but I will tell you, both these teams look good. And I want to see... here's the thing. Colorado State's track record against Boise State is not good.
No, it's not. We know that.
And that's regardless. That's got to change somehow. But I'd be curious to see this game being played in Fort Collins as opposed to Broncos Stadium.
Okay.
I think if these two teams play in Broncos Stadium again, I think Boise State wins by even bigger.
Okay.
I think if they play in Fort Collins, I think Colorado State has a legitimate chance of not only beating the Broncos, but dominating them by a good 10 points.
Interesting. All
right. Well, here's my thing. How much of a fluke is that Air Force game now?
Well, it is. Air Force is good, but not as good as we thought. It's a fluke, but it's also, I don't want to take it away. I think it's a fluke in regards that Air Force played extremely over their head and played very, very, very well. It's not like a fluke where Boise State just had their worst game ever. Air Force came and played extremely well. I'll say that no matter what. While it is looking like a fluke outcome, but if you look at the game itself, your quarterback gets benched. He makes bad throws. Your running back, J.J. Jai, who's known to fumble, fumbles, I believe, multiple times, at least once. It's a fluke that the outcome, but if you watch the game again, it's not a fluke what happened. Air Force just played out of their minds.
And Boise State has struggled against Air Force before.
And that was the first time ever them playing in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the. There's some more questions. We'll get to the CSU-Boise argument, which really... It's not an argument, I guess, but it kind of is, because Colorado State's almost ranked. So let's go to the next game. The next game was, oh man, San Jose State really pisses me off.
Because we think they're actually good, and then they pull something like this?
Well, in Vegas...
And it's not even that they pull something like this. They have such a bad rush defense, and we knew this.
Yes.
We knew this. We weren't surprised by this. Why did we think that San Jose State was going to win this game?
I thought Joe Gray he's shown me he's played pretty well. And he did.
And Joe Gray played well in this game. 33-46, 322, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. I'd say that's pretty good. Going on the road, early morning game.
Yeah, I do as well. The game started off great for San Jose State. They kick it off, maybe fumbles on their first play in the red zone. But then again, that's their danger zone. They're in the red zone. Spartans with the ball. They, a couple plays later, get no points, interceptions. Like, okay, game basically starts over. But if you look at the stats...
Joe Gray's only interception of the game came 5 minutes in the game, maybe some nerves.
Yeah. Well, no, that was after... No, it was just a terrible throw. They already ran like 4 or 5 plays. It was right in the end zone or at the 5-yard line.
Right. It was 8 yards. It was... Inside the 8 yards out. They caught it at the 3.
Yeah. But... If you look at the numbers, this game was almost identical. First downs were the same. Third down efficiency, a little bit better for Navy. Fourth down, the same. Navy only had 50 more yards. Penalties, 2 for San Jose State, 0 for Navy. Even on the turnover margin. It was almost identical, but there's the one spot, or actually two spots, where San Jose State, in that third quarter, well, mainly the third quarter, see how long those drives are for Navy there?
Yeah, like it's 16. 75, 61, 98.
Yeah, those three drives, 16, 13, and 12, that third and fourth quarter where they went off to score 17 straight points, that's the ball game right there. End of the half, the only point in the third quarter, they start the fourth quarter with that. And they made a nice comeback, but your defense has to make a stop, and we know their rush defense is awful. They let anybody run against them, but you got some good weapons on the outside. They got stuck at midfield. Maybe they should have gone for it down 7 at the start of the second half just to prove something. Who knows? 4th and 5 is risky, but you're on their side of the field barely. And then they go 3 now, their only other possession, and that's pretty much ball game. But I guess the good news, they're still in the running for the West Division, right?
Yeah, strong candidates.
Even though I inadvertently said, oh, they're going to win the West.
This was while I was watching this game, and this is where the argument, or the question was actually asked me about what's the theoretical worst possible record you could get to win the West Division, and I actually said 4-4, which is correct. Theoretically, if every single team were to rotate wins and losses throughout the whole thing, and you could finish up 4-4 and win the conference championship. Not now, but if you were starting at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, because San Diego State at Nevada, that's not a guaranteed win at Boise State, by no means. Air Force and San Jose State, not gimme wins, even though they're at home.
UNLV is never give me anything. Like, not even easy win. It's never given me an easy win because they're like, just when they start to disappoint, they surprise and then disappoint everybody yeah. else. They disappoint so much. They disappoint even when they're being successful because they're disappointing the other team.
They forced Tim Drew to put in Zach Greenlee. All right, let's go next.
But honestly, the takeaway from the San Jose State game is San Jose State defense can't stop any running whatsoever. And in fact, they couldn't stop any rushing whatsoever last year. I was doing the Navy recap for Underdog Dynasty. Keenan Reynolds, okay, the first touchdown that Keenan Reynolds scored in this game, he set the career touchdowns record for the Naval Academy. That was his first of 3 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, and career high for rushing yards as well.
Yeah, you know where 10 of his now 52 touchdowns have come from?
San Jose State?
San Jose State. He scored 10 touchdowns off 242 yards rushing last year. He scored 3 touchdowns off 251 yards rushing this year. I mean, first of all, if you're going to give 200-something-odd yards to a person anyway, that's not a good indication that you're going to win a game. But, oh my goodness. Wow. That's something that San Jose State doesn't want. To know that 20% of a person's career touchdowns came against you.
Well, yeah. Or you're known for allowing just one completion and still getting beat by a team that's not known for running the ball that much. Minnesota.
Actually, 11 touchdowns, because it was 7 rushing touchdowns, 1 passing touchdown. He threw 1 passing touchdown last year.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
There you go.
All right, let's move on. Next game. These games are nicely spread out. That's what's nice. Utah State.
They were. I got to watch every single game.
Yes, I watched most of every single game, except for Hawaii. I didn't really watch too much of that. Just enough to know. I had to tune in for the rainbow uniforms, of course. So Utah State is having the equivalent of the Air Force season at quarterback, but yet they're still winning.
Well, it helps when you're playing UNLV.
Oh, definitely, of course.
At the same time,
Air Force lost to New Mexico last year, so there's that too.
Yeah. At the same time, though, this is a game where UNLV just they have no rush attack. Now it doesn't help that Utah State. Utah State's front seven, all well, I would say, is the best front seven in the conference.
Yeah.
Despite Boise State probably giving up less rush yards, that front seven of Utah State's is so stout.
And they're still missing Kyler Fackrell.
And they're still missing Kyler Fackrell. But UNLV, 27 carries for 15 yards total.
That was, we're like, hold on, I'm watching how. Did you see the butt safety in the Colts Steelers game today?
No, I don't watch NFL.
I just had the TV on. Not this is clearly worth your time. Go find it. So Andrew Luck trips at the goal line, falls down on his butt, and tries to throw the ball. It's called for safety. Sorry to interrupt. You have to go find it. It's almost as humorous as the Jets butt fumble. Almost.
Nothing is humorous.
I said almost. All right, let's get back here. So, sorry. Yes, Shaquille Murray Lawrence can't run the ball. Keith Whitley can't run the ball. Blake Decker gets sacked.
Yeah, I don't know how many sacks UNLV gave up. Oh, it had to have been a lot of sacks because he looks like he carried the ball 17 times. It was for minus 4 yards, and his long was a 10.
I doubt 10 of those were designed runs.
Yeah, exactly. I'm honestly saying I think I watched all of this game yesterday. I'm pretty sure Blake Decker got sacked 10 times.
You think that's the case?
Yeah. Why? Do you have the stats to back me up?
I'm about to pull it up here, perhaps, if my computer works quickly enough to do so. I'm going to talk about Nick Vigil or Nick Vigil, depending what everybody keeps yelling at me if the right name is.
Case in point, the announcers used Nick Vigil yesterday.
Yes, they did, and on the radio, so.
And on the radio?
Yes, I was on the radio.
And yet we're being told it's Nick Vigil.
Well, yeah. I said that as well because when you see the pronouncer guide, it's Vig-UL. If it's Vigil, you would see like the, I don't know how.
Like a Vigil candle.
Yeah, like the, but the pronouncer guide, I mean, wouldn't be G. You know what I mean? Like if it's Vig-UL, it sounds like it's a hard G, right? Vigil.
Yeah.
But they're all saying Vigil. So I'll go with Vigil. Because that's what I said before. We're going Vigil. So that's what TV and radio said. So we're going with Vigil.
I'll go with Vigil.
Just to screw with everybody?
Yes.
Why not? So, sacks, does CFBstats.com, here we go, sacks. We will find this right now as we discuss. So, let's click on Utah State.
Sacks.com.
They have 30.
Quarterback's worst nightmare.
Just for reference, Utah State has 30 sacks all year, 213 sack yards. That's pretty good. Here we go. Sacks. You said 10?
Yeah.
6. However, did you see in Colorado State game they had 8 sacks versus the Rams?
I did not.
That's pretty good. So you're close. 6. Close enough.
6 is not 10. That's not close enough.
It's over half. Well,
if it was 9.5, look, if it was 9.5, I'd accept that. 6, I was way off.
Well, let's get to the real story of the game. Craig Harrison's gone with some sort of nasty leg injury if you saw what happened. Kind of get tackled from behind. His leg gets caught underneath. He's done.
Enter Kent Myers.
Yeah, there's no status update for Chucky Keaton at all because I'm assuming his career is over, unfortunately. Nothing on Daryl Gerritsen. Assuming if we were correct in a broken wrist, he's done. Here's the thing about Utah State. Like, oh, there's such bad luck. They are in bad luck, but here's the thing why they haven't been able to keep winning. Gerritsen played half of last year. Harrison's been in the program for years. This next week will be the real week we'll know what Kent Myers can do. He was from what town in Texas? But he was I think he was his district player of the year, back-to-back as quarterback, led his team to the playoffs at the largest division in 5A in Texas, Division I football. Whatever, yeah, it's 5A, Division I. They have like two levels for 5A for playoffs. 3 for 5, got sacked once, had an 18-yard run. You said he looked like a little bit like Chucky Keaton, is that correct?
Yes.
Just kind of style-wise?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make sure. Some people may say that because of what he looks like. I don't know why, but.
No.
I'm kidding. He's from Texas, so there's a lot of similarities.
No. The style and the way he runs, the way he plays, I mean, he's a true freshman. There's that similarity as well.
Yeah. And he didn't need to do too much, because when Harrison came out, I believe it was either 24-13 or 27-13. Sizable lead for the Aggies.
It was 24-13.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if he came in, if he was in or before that field goal. So he led them to a field goal and a 9-play, 73-yard drive in that fourth quarter. I put up his highlights on our website. You got to kind of watch what he's about. I don't know what to expect, but I'm thinking their defense is good enough to keep winning games because their schedule is so favorable. With next week, they go to Hawaii. Wyoming, they're falling off the track a little bit, so that might be a little bit easier. But New Mexico and San Jose State, all those are winnable games. Like I said last week, even with Greg Harrison, they could be 9-3 headed into that Boise State game to decide the Mountain title.
Here's my issue about this game. So, final score was 34-20. Mm-hmm. UNLV had an opportunity, had many opportunities after holding the field goal, after Harrison goes down. You have an opportunity now with a fourth streak quarterback to just go out there and make
do something.
Throw the deep ball.
Do it.
Take chances.
Yeah, look what Utah State did when Taysom Hill went out against BYU. They struck with that 70-plus yard pass to Hunter Sharp. Do something with it.
I mean, they scored. It was 34-13 with 11:48 left in the fourth quarter. They took 4 minutes, 42 seconds to score 20 points.
Wait, 1 second here. It looks like Craig Harrison was in the game at 27-13. So when he got hurt, he fumbled the ball. Jordan Sparkman recovered. C.O. Vaseu recovered. Do you know what their first play was for UNLV when their Utah State's QB out was?
Design run play, right? It was the 18 yard rush.
No, it was a loss of 6 yards, a sack.
Was it?
B.J. Larson sacked Blake Decker. Okay. So I'm saying, like, and then the field goal is eventually.
Oh, you said UNLV's possession.
Yeah, because Craig Harrison, he went out when he fumbled the ball.
That's right.
So like you said, UNLV take advantage, blah blah blah, all that. They got sacked, and then Utah State blocks the field goal. It's like, you can't take advantage. You're at the Aggies' 21-yard line. You can't even get a field goal.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You're attempting a... Nope. I just spit over a wop on.
Good job. It's a 43-yarder, so it wasn't close, but still. Gets blocked.
No, but look. You're attempting... Okay, I get the 6-yard is going to ruin any chance of... You know, a close field goal, a realistic chance at a fourth down. But you're down by 14 points. You're down by 14 points. At least take the shot. If you know that Utah State...
Well, here's the thing. It was 4th and 15, though. Why would you take a shot in 4th and 15?
Because you're still within between the 40 and the 50-yard line of the opposing team.
Okay.
Statistically, that's when you usually make your fourth down shots.
Okay. Well, I know, but I mean the distance. Why? That's where I was getting at.
You know, Harrison is down with an injury.
Well, I think they lost all that momentum on that sack when B.J. Larson got Decker. So, Rebels are terrible.
Why run a play? Run the deep ball. You got Devontae Boyd,
who is pretty dang good.
Had 6 receptions, 128 yards. You might as well use him.
And this is the same old UNLV. Coaching's terrible. They don't take advantage of opportunities given to them. And they still lose by 14 to a team that, yeah, it's an experienced third-string quarterback, but it's still a third-string quarterback, and you got to play against a fourth-string quarterback for about 14 minutes. And you scored 7 points out of it. You were tied with the fourth-string quarterback in the game, 7-7. You were tied.
Here's the thing about UNLV. And this is, I think this should be a final note, and then let's move on. How do you develop a winning culture around a team who's never really had a winning culture? Yeah, you made a bowl game last year, but yeah, you have to be consistent. I don't think the coaching is as horrible as we think it is. I think the players honestly aren't buying into it. They're not buying into the program.
Well, they've all been losers. Not to be sound mean, but you never won. They're a bunch of losers.
You never won. Finally, when you make a bowl game last year, you know, and then you have that whole thing. It hurts your chances, and that's why the recruiting hurt. But yeah, something has to change in the locker room.
But here's the thing: recruiting shouldn't have taken a hit from the APR thing, really.
Yeah.
Maybe a little during summer, but anytime you have a good season, your recruiting class is not going to do anything better until this year. Like anytime like Hawaii, TCU, Boise, Utah went to a BCS bowl game, they weren't getting a recruiting bump for that current class. It'd be the next class. But yet UNLV can't follow up with it. Even most teams know, maybe outside of Boise and TCU, any sort of drop-off, there's going to be some. But I mean, what I mean, they have to follow it up to do something, and they're not, to get recruits excited for getting to a bowl the year before when they go 2-10 the next year. Have they gone 5-7?
I'm going to say this.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not the coaching. It's not the players. I think the talent is somewhat there. The coaching's there. Something has to change in the locker room. There has to be something. Something has got to change, and it can't be the way they play on the field. It's got to be the attitudes that are in the locker room.
Well, it has to be some of the defense. Their defense is awful.
Well, the defense, yeah.
So maybe – isn't Bobby Houck's brother a defensive coach on that team?
Yes.
He may have to
give – He did fairly well last year.
You'll have an awkward Thanksgiving this year, perhaps.
Oh, my God. Okay, next game.
Border War. Closer than expected. Border War. Because backups like
– Exciting for about – the last 7.5 minutes of the Border War. Otherwise, this was all Colorado State all the time.
Well, Jim McElwain likes to play his backups to build that depth. So that's why that 21 points came in against the Rams for Wyoming. Okay, also, if you didn't hear, DJ May tore his ACL, done for the year. He heard it during practice this week. That's pretty terrible. Who's this Brian Hill character?
I don't know. Sean Wick had one carry, but whoever this Brian Hill character is, he's a suitable replacement.
Yeah, 28 for 121, long of 40, pair of touchdowns. Yeah, he basically almost had fivefold his rushing yards. His long of 40 topped his total for the year, I believe, or was close to it, coming into this game. But, man, it's a big win. Gary Grayson, geez, 300. At 5 touchdowns, geez, only drops 3 passes. They did not punt once in this game for Colorado State. They punted one time.
Yeah, Hey, Eric Nisiocha caught a reception. I don't think he's a position player.
Eric Nisiocha for Wyoming. Who is this? Let's take a quick look and see. He's a tight end.
Is he a tight end?
Yes, he is.
Oh, his brother's a linebacker.
That's fine to mix that up. But CSU's good, man. All I can say, Higgins, 174 yards on 5 catches, 2 touchdowns. The deep ball is in full effect. They had they had 3 throws over 20, 65 and 73 yarder plus more. Penalties are a pretty big concern. We have 9 for 87. But... man, Rams were dominant in that fourth. All I can say, the fourth quarter, all it was is that the backups were in, and that's why they came back.
Yep. And this is the other thing. So, I think our bowling hopes are pretty much over.
Unfortunately, yes, no bowling plans this year. They're 3-5. They have to win. They have to go 3-1 the rest of the way.
That being said, it is impressive why, you know, Wyoming has developed more of an offense this year. And
second half of the season, not the first half. They can score points. No, anything. I said,
that's what I meant. Throughout the course of the season.
Gotcha.
And obviously I think it's going to take Bull to get his own recruits and to build that kind of strength that he found at North Dakota State. But it's getting there. And I think, and unlike Bobby Houck, I think Craig Bohl is actually starting to get his players to buy into his program.
Oh, definitely. I think it'll be – you'll see them. They'll get better in second year. I think when his third year comes around, they can win. They can win the Mountain. They can chance to win that Mountain Division, which is so difficult. But, yeah, 3 years, if they're already buying in now, and you can tell they're playing well at times and spots, give them another full spring, another full year of guys. Year three, we'll have a bunch of his guys who are now sophomores – and people who are already in the program knowing what he can do, they could be a threat in the third year with Craig Bohl.
Look, I'll be honest. Okay, you're going to call me crazy here.
Next year?
Oh, I'm just talking about you. You said they have to go 3-1 to make a bowl game.
I saw the schedule. I don't think it's happening. But I won't dash your hopes. Go ahead with what you're going to say. Sorry.
They play at Fresno State, who's starting brand new quarterback Zach Greenlee, and who's looked at times just flat out awful.
Well, we don't know that, but go ahead. Huh? Still, first start for a freshman.
First start, but they travel to Fresno State, and you know that'll be an interesting game.
Wyoming can win. Anytime you lose to Fresno State or UNLV, you're never a guaranteed loss against that team. So Fresno State, for losing to UNLV, you have the stigma of every game you play, you can lose. Sorry guys, but you lose to the second worst team in the league. That's what you
Utah
get.
Utah State right now, Utah State's offense is in survival mode.
Yeah, no running game. Zach Vigil led the team in rushing again. Nick Vigil.
Not Zach Vigil, who dominates on the defensive side of the ball.
They both do.
Nick Vigil dominates on both sides of the ball. But when Nick Vigil is leading the rushing with 51 yards,
yeah,
there's not much of a rush game. There's who knows how much of a pass game there's going to be with the true freshman and fourth string quarterback.
Yeah.
Call me a Utah State hater. It's just that right now they're in survival mode.
Their defense is good enough to win them games.
Oh, and then that's what I'm saying. Utah State could easily win the Wyoming-Utah State matchup, but at the same time, they could somehow lose, especially if Wyoming progressively is getting better. Even though they're losing, if they're progressively getting better.
Yeah.
They'll lose to Boise State, and then that final game versus New Mexico, they could be sitting at 5-6.
There's a small chance. They could either go, they can go 3-1 or 1-3.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, they can. They could go 0-4.
Oh, losing to the Lobos, that'd be tough, but there's still a little bit of hope. There's a little bit of hope. Not much, but a little. All right, so let's...
Colorado State gets to keep the bronze boot since 1968, so they'll keep it for the, I think, 25th year since the bronze boot has been in existence. They lead it 25-22, and but, 105th meeting, I think they're up to 45 wins now? But I know there's five ties.
So they're almost back to 50%.
No. They're over 50%.
If they've won 45 times and they played 105 times and there's five ties. 55
times.
You looked it up, fine. You looked it up if you want to. So let's move on real quick. The final game is Hawaii at Nevada. Nevada at Hawaii.
57. So that was their 57th win.
Okay, so they're about 50%.
They 106th meeting, so I'm sorry.
Right. They're about 60% winning, 55% winning percentage or so.
Yeah.
So Hawaii at Nevada, there's a case of the goalpost shenanigans.
Brett Zuzo.
A lot of misses and doinks and extra points being missed.
Never ever change.
Never. They wore the rainbow uniforms.
They did. Come on.
Coach Chow, do one thing great for the program and make that permanent.
Please do, especially with the UH on the white. And oh my goodness, it was fantastic.
Under Armour, come on, do something.
They are doing something. If they keep it, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That stadium was, for however little people, I think it says, attendance said 27,000.
No way.
That was a lot of 27,000 for the first half.
There was not 27,000.
That's what was announced.
Ticket sold, yes. So.
It was, however the crowd was last night, they were loud. And they were in it, at least the first half.
Can we stop saying Hawaii's front seven is pretty good now?
I think we can.
Cody Fajardo had, I believe, a season-high 132 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. James Butler, 94. Don Jackson, 69. Averaged 5 yards an attempt. That was Fajardo's, except when he played Washington State, it's the only time he's hit triple digits, so season high. He didn't throw very well. But he ran very well against Nevada, against Hawaii, and they made their nice comeback down 10-0, rattled off a bunch of points, 26 straight points, and now the game's over then, essentially. Game was over. When it was 19-10, the game was probably over in that fourth quarter, that short, short touchdown. And it could have been worse. They have a 22-yard field goal and a 22-yard field goal and a 20-yard field goal. This could have been about attack on a bunch of 8 more points at least.
But at the same time, though, if Hawaii had recovered that onside kick,
there's that.
I think there was a good chance of scoring. But this is the same Hawaii that we've seen. Make final last-minute comebacks and just not follow through. Hey, our favorite question mark player carried the ball 3 times last night. Parise Joas.
Parise Joas. Is he still? He's no longer a question mark. He's now a junior from Plano, Texas. 5'6", a whopping 170.
So, my favorite part of the game last night, I hate to say that my favorite part was the end. So, Cody Fajardo throws the ball, Hassan Henderson, on a 4th-and-goal from the 16-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Robert Kekaula. And I quoted this. I'm pretty sure it was pretty
close to the actual quote. But fourth and goal from the 16-yard line. And over the really, he's going to complete it. That's a 16-yard strike from Fajardo to Hassan Henderson for a touchdown.
We need to see if we get him on the show in the offseason, maybe.
Can we please?
I probably have his email and phone number. I can look up really quick and get that done.
But they score a touchdown, 2:28 left. It was 19-10 before that point. I think, in my personal opinion, it's not running up the score, but on a 4th and goal from the 16-yard line, it's just, yeah, I know you're having kicking problems, but if you're not going to kick it, don't throw it. Just run around a bunch.
I guess with 2:28 left, but
with 2:20 left, the way your offense is going, okay, Ikeka Wolsey, 18 for 32, 201 yards. None of that. He's not going to go. Look, if you run the ball up the gut or run it around a little bit and get within the 10-yard line, I highly doubt Nevada is going to go or Hawaii is going to go 92 yards to score a touchdown.
Well, we know that. But you're still down two scores, even with that.
Huh?
You're still down 2 scores because it's a 9-point game.
Exactly. But by scoring a touchdown, okay, you leave the ball coming up, starting at 25-yard line, or whatever yard they said, they march down, score the touchdown in a little bit over a minute 40, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're leaving an onside kick and potentially a game-tying touchdown.
Well, I'm fine with it. And what we know, it wasn't for them trying to cover the spread or anything because it was a 3-point line. But whatever, they're kicking terrible. They want to score points. I'm fine with it.
Also, my other favorite Robert Kekaula quote last night. Scott Harding, he's going to come off. So Scott Harding punted the ball, got hit off his rugby, just came off limping off the field.
Yeah.
And the announcer started talking about AARP. The man is 29 years old, but he looks like he's 59.
Good job, Robert. That's the best. They need to get him out of there. Come on, you gotta do something more. Give him more of a role.
Like, put him permanently. What I'd love to see, Robert Kekaula and Jesse Palmer.
Oh, that'd be great. Not gonna happen, but that'd be great.
Oh.
All right, so that's the games. We need to get some questions because we got some fighting going on. Fighting, I say. Is that too strong a word?
Fight.
Or am I correct on that?
Possibly.
Okay, since you're a Boise State fan, this is a legitimate question. We already kind of discussed it before, but Boise State and Colorado State, if they played again, tell me, people want to know, what are the reasons why the Rams would beat Boise this time around?
Okay.
You go first.
Well, it depends on, first of all, the environment that they're playing. If they're playing at Hughes Stadium
and Fort Collins.
Let's take that out. Let's just say the teams themselves. Let's just take that part out. Location.
So you just say neutral field?
Sure, sure. They're playing in Las Vegas.
Neutral. They're playing at the Mountain West Conference. No, wait, no. I'm still going to say that Boise State wins that game by 2 touchdowns. I think the front seven for Boise State is much better than the front seven for Colorado State. I think Grayson is a better passer, and Rashard Higgins is, you know, they basically have to toss pass interference plays to avoid Rashard Higgins from catching the ball. But Rashard Higgins was not much of a threat in that game versus Boise State.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because DeHart played awful. And Higgins, I'm looking up his numbers as well, but I think that was a game where Hart was like 1.8 yards a carry.
It was.
Something pretty terrible. So I'm wondering if they just had a bad game. No, Higgins was a great, no touchdowns. He's 11 for 143.
No touchdowns, but he still had 143 yards. And see, that's the one thing that Boise State does do well. The secondary is weak in the fact that it gives up a lot of yards. Mm-hmm. But they will, you know, to somebody like Higgins, they'll make sure he's double-teamed, and yeah, they'll get the deep pass, but he's going down as soon as he catches the ball.
I just think at the very least it's going to be a one-possession game.
I think so. I give it still two touchdowns, and part of that is because I'm a homer.
Yeah.
But okay, I also think that, like I said, you get Ajayi running up the gut. I think now with the new weapons of McNichols and Sparebeck, who weren't options a few weeks ago, who now Hedrick is very, very familiar with, I think that can open up the pass game a lot more.
I would still give the Boise the edge, but I think it'd be a much better game. I think part of it, it's week two. You got not a lot of new, some reasonably new players for the Rams. I think it'd be less than 7 points or less.
Yeah. So, but if you want my honest opinion, yes, I think Colorado State could beat Boise State if they played a second time. Okay. I don't think it would happen, but I think it could happen.
Yeah, I'd still give Boise the edge, but the Rams are good. Here's the funny thing. We'll discuss this. People will hear two different things. Because apparently we are homers for San Diego State.
X team.
Boise State. Colorado State. Did I forget anybody? You love Craig Bull.
And Utah State. Don't forget, we are Utah State homers, according to some people.
Yeah, well, I mean, Utah State, Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State. Yeah. All the good teams, right?
All the teams where most of our writers have covered.
And I also like New Mexico, because I like what Lamar Jordan's doing.
And Football Bob!
Yes, Football Bob, but you like Craig Bull. And Nevada as well, so it's like, relax.
No, I hate Nevada.
Well, you can respect our football play.
Okay, fine.
Right?
Yes. I can respect Nevada, but I hate Nevada.
Okay, so here's one last, I think the only other question we had.
And Hawaii.
Yeah, and Hawaii. So, here's the thing. The stupid rule, like, we'll kind of bring all this back full circle, because we discussed our Football Four, where I was probably being weird with TCU and Notre Dame, but who cares? Our vote doesn't count, so I can be extravagant as I want, within reason. So,
are we still doing Twitter questions?
That's the main question. There's a lot of response from the Colorado State and Boise State getting to the big winning
vote. No. We had a.
Did I miss one? Oh, Jim McElwain question.
Yeah, we had a couple of Jim McElwain questions.
Oh, I must have had the wrong account up open here.
Yeah. So the first one is, what job could Jim McElwain take if he decides to leave?
Well,
you want my crazy conspiracy theory?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Saban leaves. Atlanta's kind of sort of on the hot seat right now, right? The Falcons?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yes? Okay.
Sure, I'll go. I'll run with your scenario here.
Saban leaves for Atlanta.
No. Saban's not leaving for any job. He's retiring when he wants to.
Hear me out here.
I'll hear you out, but yes.
Saban retires at the end of the year because he can't take Kiffin anymore. And he didn't make the initial playoff. Okay? Saban retires. You really think Alabama's going to hire Kiffin as the head football coach?
12% chance.
12% chance. I think McElwain is ready to go to Bama.
They got to pay a hefty buyout, but...
You think?
Well, realistically, here's the thing. If he leaves, Michigan's going to be open. He'd be a perfect fit for Michigan. Florida's going to be open. Go back to the SEC. Could, maybe they may want him. Assuming they finish like 10-3 or something like that, get 10 wins. Florida, neither school would like that higher by any means. But there's a possibility for those two locations.
And the other Twitter question is, besides McElwain, any other coaches that could move up?
So they mean move up and move out from being like hired away?
Yeah.
Matt Wells, maybe. But
not right now.
But I'm not sure where. I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
I don't think Matt Wells is ready to leave yet.
No, I don't think so. Plus, what he has going on with the players, I think he's going to stay. Rocky Long, unless he retires, no. Carragher's not going anywhere. No, I would. Maybe Troy Calhoun somewhere. But he already turned down Colorado, Buffaloes, and the Denver Broncos. So it's like hard to see him going anywhere. Turns down the NFL from Air Force NFL. Think about that. So, I would say nobody moving up, but Matt Wells would be my closest consideration.
So, ready for my other crazy conspiracy theory?
Always.
Okay, so I actually mentioned this while I was watching the game last night, the Nevada Hawaii game.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Chow resigns at the end of the season, whatever. Who you were saying that Hawaii would look at Robert and A?
Robert and I.
From BYU?
No, when I mentioned preseason, I mentioned Kalani Sitake, the defensive coordinator from Utah.
That's right. I forgot.
But he might be holding out. I think he'll be holding out for a better job for his first.
You ready for my crazy conspiracy theory?
Jordan Wynn?
No. Nick Rolovich.
Maybe. Promote within? Defensive coordinator?
Yeah. Rolovich, offensive coordinator at Nevada.
I was thinking of the... Sorry, somebody else. Yeah,
you're right. But you're absolutely right. He does have Hawaii ties. He played for Hawaii.
He does, yes. For some reason, I was thinking their new DC they brought over from Utah State. My mistake. No. And that could make sense. Yeah. Possibly.
That's a good starting job, and that's a huge rebuilding job.
Yeah, that is... Sheesh. Coordinators, I could maybe see... Dave Schrammett was hot last year. I don't think he'll go anywhere this year. The Fresno State OC... If he, I'm surprised he got no offers last year to be head coach, or unless maybe he did and we didn't know about it. You can see him. Utah State D coordinator is still new. It's not going to be him going anywhere. Nobody from the Wyoming staff. Maybe I'd have to look at who's the Rams offensive coordinator or defense coordinator. Maybe they'll get a shot somewhere. Maybe Conference USA head coach, perhaps, or Sun Belt. We'd have to do some more research, but. Rolovich is a pretty good choice, assuming if Chow is gone, which I'd give it 50-50 right now.
So what were you going to ask me?
Well, the last question, let's move on to the lone guaranteed spot for our level of conference team. Just to wrap it up, East Carolina, Marshall, Boise State, and Colorado State. Problem is, you have to put the Rams fourth no matter what. Because the stupid rule, I get the rule, because every other bowl game, for your automatic bid, you have to be a conference champion. I think when you have 60 teams together, you should take the best team.
I wonder if he thinks that Boise State's going to fall against San Diego State or Utah State.
Yeah, because that's what the reason we're coming to this, because Jason Kirk, college football editor at SB Nation, does his weekly rank projections. Put your Rams versus the Ohio State University in the Fiesta Bowl, which would be awesome, by the way. And a game I would attempt to get out to. But if you look, because that's the only way it happens. Boise has to lose twice for the Rams.
Once.
Sorry. I meant two losses. One more loss while the Rams going defeated. San Diego State and Utah State are the only two games they can lose and they're both at home. At Wyoming? Probably. I don't. No way. And so I'm assuming that's where he gets it from, maybe because the Aztecs have beaten Boise two times in a row, including once at Over the Turf, Blue Turf.
Quite possibly. I think that's on that way again.
Interesting. Do you think,
so,
I would let me ask you this really quick. If Boise State wins the Mountain West, they're not going to go to the big money bowl game. If there is a best chance for the Mountain West team to get there, it has to be the Rams. Because if Marshall's undefeated, odds are Boise's not going to be picked over Marshall. or even a one-loss ECU team.
But this is what I was talking about offline before we started podcasting. Marshall sitting still at 23rd, even after another win versus Florida Atlantic. Mm-hmm. They have not moved up. They have not moved down. They're just staying stagnant.
But again,
Colorado State, assuming they win next week, Colorado State's going to jump them. Boise State, if they get ranked, are probably going to jump Marshall.
Possibly, but here's the thing, too. These polls mean nothing. It will know Tuesday. Even though the committee, a couple things I'm concerned with that committee, not that it matters too much to our league as much, but they're like, oh, our poll's going to be different, because as we heard the same thing with the Harris poll, it's going to be different. It's not going to be that much different. It could be, it might not be, but what I'm worried about is, not that worried, but it's just going to be weird if you see the coaches poll do a giant course correction to try to be with the playoff committee poll.
Yeah.
And look, Marshall's been crushing. They beat everybody they've crushed going back to their whole year. Miami, yeah, they beat nobody. Miami, Ohio, Akron, Old Dominion, and Middle Tennessee.
They were actually losing to Florida Atlantic yesterday at halftime.
Yeah, it's 35-16. That's their least dominant win all year. And Florida Atlantic is, not only did they lose to Wyoming, they are 3-5, losing record.
Yeah.
And if we're to believe the committee for the stupid stat where here's teams who are above this line or above 500, here's teams that are below. So if Marshall beats all these teams that are 5-7, theoretically, they're going to have, the schedule must be awful. Even though that's a terrible way to strength the schedule, so it can go the other way. Oh, they beat all these teams are 6-6? Oh, they must be great, even though they're all 6-6. I would just say the Mountain West's best hope is Colorado State.
Yeah.
Cause
I would say there's a slim chance of Boise State, too.
For that to happen, they would need Marshall to lose one game. I still think Marshall has to lose one game for that to happen. And then let me pull up what East Carolina has really quick.
East Carolina's schedule has not looked that impressive either.
Well, that's what I'm looking as well. But, I mean, they're going to give them a lot of credit probably for that win versus Virginia Tech, even though they're not ranked in that crushing win over UNC where they scored 70 points. There's some reasonable tough games. Cincinnati and UCF.
North Carolina is sitting at 4-4. Virginia Tech is sitting at 4-4.
Yeah, they're both
4-4. There's a possibility that both of those teams don't make a bowl game.
Yeah, there's a chance.
And South Carolina is looking pretty bad.
They almost beat Auburn, though, yesterday, on Saturday.
They did almost beat Auburn. They would have caused some great chaos.
Yeah, too bad.
But South Carolina is sitting at 4-4. Let's see here. Connecticut, 1-6, so they're not going to make a bowl game. South Florida is sitting at 3-5. SMU is sitting at 0-7.
They're terrible.
Just nobody that they played is...
UCF and Cincinnati are reasonably good.
They haven't played UCF.
I mean, they're going to. I mean, going forward.
They're going to, yes. But Cincinnati's sitting at 4-3. So if they win, that's going to be 4-4. Temple is sitting at 4-3. They're going to lose that. It's going to be 4-4.
Yeah.
They're going to have a whole bunch of 6-6 teams on their schedule.
You're right. Here's the thing, but still,
with Boise State, you've got a loss to Ole Miss, which actually looks okay.
No, it does. But I just still think if it's going to be Boise, they need a loss by each of those teams. One loss.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, Rams. Sorry, it's real stupid. I think. With 60 teams, it should be the best team out of this group. Not, and then people say, oh, you hate Boise State. No. I think it's not that we need to claim this playoffs fair or the BCS is ever fair, but if you're going that deep of a pool, you want the best representative.
And that's what scares me about the playoff, too, is that they're going this deep. They're not supposed to look at any other polls. They're just supposed to look at what they've seen and what they've researched and everything like that.
No. They can't bring in any outside resources, really. Like when they had
They watched.
No, but the fake committee with like Andy Staples, Jerry Palm, Heather Dinich, all those people, Stuart Mandel. Palm, who invented the RPI, one of the main tools they use for the basketball committee. You've probably heard of it, the ratings percentage index. I'm just making it very, very clear. He brought in this extra information, like, nope, we don't know where it came from, we don't know the formula, you can't use it. So, anything from Football Outsiders, Brian Femru's BCF Toys, anything like that, can't use it. You can't use margin of victory. But here's this nifty tool. If a team has a winning record, they go up here. But if they have a losing record, they go down here. So theoretically, a 9-3 Georgia Southern team is equivalent to a 7-5 Auburn team. No, not the case. That's not the case. That shouldn't be the case. Absolutely, it's not. But I'm just saying that's how they're looking at the end of the year. Teams above 500 up here. Teams below 500 down here. It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip. 5-7 to 7-5 is a coin flip essentially for most teams.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Even if you look at this Colorado State, Boise State thing, and the polls, and you can't use the polls, right?
They can.
Okay, Colorado State's one loss has come to Boise State. Boise State's two losses so far have come to Ole Miss and Air Force. Air Force is 5-2 right now. That still looks good.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll know.
East Carolina's one loss comes to a team that's 4-4. You know, Marshall doesn't have any losses, but look at who they've played. They're going to play a whole bunch of teams who are sitting at, you know.
Losing records.
Right, exactly.
It's unfortunate their schedule isn't tougher. Like, they typically have one or two teams. They typically play like West Virginia, Virginia Tech. They usually play a decent team.
There is a total possibility that the College Football Playoff Committee screws this whole thing up and the Mountain West somehow gets a team because they look better.
I know. And we'll see how strength of schedule comes into play. Somebody put something on Twitter about Duke's strength of schedule and a few other teams comparing. Let me see if I find it. I'm getting low on battery here. And I can't just plug in because I'm pretty sure that humming is going to screw up the recording. So let me take a quick look here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. As I'm trying to find this out. Somebody put a handful of things. Where is it at? Maybe it was yesterday. As I'm lovingly talking about something to do with strength of schedule, but we'll know strength of schedule if they really take that into consideration. Or it doesn't matter if they do or not, but they're still right and they're still a good way and a bad way to find SOS. I don't see it on here, but somebody tossed in a few things. I don't recall what it was, but there's a bunch of random stuff. Not random, but people putting out like, oh, this Duke's 125th strength of schedule. This team's 95th, all below. I think CSU and Boise State, I believe. I'm not entirely sure. I could find it later, but it's a legitimate question to put out there if we know what SOS will really be. But I think we've gone long enough for an hour and 12 minutes for a five-week game week show.
And we've spent a lot of time not talking about.
It's fine. There's other stuff's fun to talk about as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just real quick. So, College Football RPI, which I know is not being used, ranks Marshall 21st, East Carolina 24th, Colorado State 30th, and Boise State 34th. So there's not a lot of spread between those teams.
There's not. I should look at Football Outsiders, and I'm on Brian Femmer, who's part of Football Outsiders. He has some crazy stuff up here I should look at one point. I'm going to find out my battery's going to die, but I'm trying. SOS, here it is. Because, see, I trust this stuff. The guy who does Football Outsiders, him and Bill Connolly, they have Colorado. University of Colorado has the number one schedule in the country, just if you're wondering. Oh, Colorado State beat them. Does that count for something? They beat the team with the toughest schedule, right? Yes. Colorado State has the 79th schedule, it shows here. Boise State is 71st, so right there. For those who are wondering, Utah State 73 right there. Marshall, dead last at 128th.
But they're ranked 7th in the nation, according to the FBI.
East Carolina at 93. So East Carolina and Marshall are both well below Boise State and Colorado State, according to the strength schedule using the FBI ratings of footballoutsiders.com, which are pretty good.
And by the way, those rankings have Marshall listed at 7th so far. Boise State listed at 30th, East Carolina at 40th, and Colorado State at 51st.
Yeah.
So I think, and this should probably be our final parting notes.
Yeah.
I really think that the College Football Playoff it's not screwing this up, but I think there's a way that just looking at who they played, looking at, wins, losses, everything like that, there's a good chance that they might put Colorado State in the Fiesta Bowl or Boise State.
They can't put Utah State or Colorado State in there because
they can't put Colorado State, but they could put
at the moment. They're not going to announce their top. We'll know the top four who they're in, but they're not going to announce they're this bowl. At least I'm pretty sure that's the case. Publicly, they're going to say, here's your top 25. And We have to assume those top four are the playoff teams. And so, but we won't know. And I guess technically we will know who they are for the non, for our situation, because the top ranked team will be there. But if it's CSU, that can't be them because the requirement is the league champion. Yeah. But we'll still know. And that'll be when we write up, and I'll probably do the write up or something on Tuesday to see how it plays out. But I'm pretty sure that we'll know who's in. We'll know three bowl locations at least. The semifinals and where the non-Power 5 team is playing, or where they're going to be in the mix.
So anyway, this took a long time.
That's fine. Hey, it's a great show. Even though it's super late, it's almost midnight for me right here. And I can get up quite early tomorrow morning, but hey,
check it out. Yeah, it was fun. We actually talked about
college football. No, okay.
We went off topic by talking about other things in college football.
Because I'm pretty sure 98% of everybody does care about the playoff, does watch more than just their team. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. Appreciate the long show for people who stayed to the end. Hey, leave a comment if you made it to the end. And check us out, MWCConnection.com. SoundCloud, search us there. iTunes, search us there. Stitcher Radio, everything. Greek Padre, are you still above 400 followers?
I think I am.
Also, a quick...
I gained a few more followers this weekend, so I hope I am.
Twitter roll call really quick before we wrap up this show.
It's going to take a while. Hold on.
Greek Padre is at 405. There you go. Thank you. Excuse me. You're welcome. I should say not thank you, but...
Thank you.
Check us out.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You're welcome, then. Hope your team did well. We'll see what goes on this next coming week, but we got another slate of games next weekend. And yeah, read your stuff. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for commenting. Thanks for everything. And again, MWCConnection.com, and we'll see everybody next time.